praised be Jesus and Mary. Today we celebrate the great feast of St. Anthony of Padua, arguably one of the greatest saints in the history of the church, certainly one of the most popular. I think nowadays maybe St. Therese and Padre Pio have surpassed St. Anthony in popularity, but still one of the most popular saints in the history of the church, especially because he's a wonder worker. He works miracles. St. Anthony is known for finding lost objects, so whenever we lose something, we should always call upon St. Anthony for help, and we should also remember gratitude, okay, to be thankful when St. Anthony finds something for us. St. Anthony lived a pure life as a youth. He was born into a well-to-do family. His father was the governor of Lisbon. Actually, one of St. Anthony's greatest miracles were performed in respect to his father. His father was governor of Lisbon. At the time, St. Anthony was a provincial of the Franciscan order in Italy, and his father lived in a palace right next to the cathedral. And there were some men a band of men who murdered someone, and not knowing what to do with the body, they threw it into the garden of the palace where St. Anthony's father lived, the governor's palace. And so his father was actually accused of murdering this man. And St. Anthony, who was living in Italy and fulfilling his duties as a provincial, by infused knowledge, had learned of the event, okay, and determined that God had willed that he go to Lisbon to defend his father. So, because St. Anthony was a provincial, he could have decided to go on his own. But instead, valuing the vow of obedience, the virtue of obedience, he asked the minister general for permission. And so he starts making his way to Lisbon and miraculously arrives in very short time. In fact, he'll go to Lisbon, take part in the trial, and return to Padua all in the span of one day and two nights. So he had this miraculous ability of rapid transportation, they call it. So he goes to Lisbon, and he's there to testify before the court and the judges. And he says, you know, I know my father is innocent, and I'm going to take you to the grave and have the murdered man testify of my father's innocence. And so everybody quizzically looks at each other, but they say, okay, we'll follow you. So they follow St. Anthony to the grave of the murdered man, and St. Anthony commands that, you know, just like our Lord, he commands that the tomb be uncovered and the man be unwrapped. And then he commands the man to speak and testify to his father's innocence. And he did. The dead man raised his right hand and then testified that his father was not the ones who murdered him. At the same time, the dead man then asked St. Anthony for absolution from the penalty of excommunication that he fell under. And so we can see what a great mercy this was on the part of God and why God willed this miracle take place. Okay, for the to establish the innocence of St. Anthony's father, certainly, but probably more so to save this poor soul who died excommunicated. Right? And so St. Anthony absolved him from the excommunication, and the man once again fell dead and was placed back in his grave. So that is one of the greatest miracles that St. Anthony performed. So he was born into this noble family. His father was a governor, and he had a good upbringing. Again, he's known to have preserved his purity throughout his youth. He was 14 or 15 years old when he was already inspired to enter religious life. And he enters among the Augustinians. So we already see that pure heart, pure desires in Saint Anthony as a youth. And he enters the Augustinians, but one day there are five Franciscans who are passing through town, and they stop among the Augustinians to receive hospitality. And Saint Anthony starts talking to them and inquiring about their way of life, and they're a new order founded merely 11 years prior to this visitation to St. Anthony. And so the friars minor, they're explaining to St. Anthony about St. Francis, about their rule, their apostolic evangelical way of life, and St. Anthony is intrigued. And they explain they're off to Morocco to preach to the Muslims. And so not long afterwards, these five Franciscans return in body bags from Morocco, being martyred for the faith. And so that was kind of the icing on the cake for St. Anthony. He decided to ask permission to enter into this order of Franciscans, and he himself desired martyrdom and asked permission to go to Morocco. He did get permission, but eventually an illness prevented him from actually arriving and preaching to the Muslims, because God had a different plan for him. St. Anthony would go on to live a bit of an eremitical life, a life of solitude and prayer, until his gift of preaching was discovered. And once his gift of preaching was discovered, he was given the charge to preach and evangelize and also teach the friars. St. Anthony had an incredible knowledge of the sacred scripture. In fact, Pope Gregory IX, who would eventually canonize St. Anthony, called him the Ark of both Testaments and the storehouse of the sacred scriptures. Okay, it's said that St. Anthony knew the scriptures by heart. He would also be elevated to Doctor of the Church by Pope Pius XII. Throughout his life, he had many gifts of miracles, the reading of hearts, bilocation, and another one that I read is speaking to people at a distance by name. Not even sure I've ever even heard of that miracle, but apparently he was able to communicate with others at a great distance. Those were the days when they didn't have telephones, so maybe that gift doesn't even exist anymore. So we have in St. Anthony a great saint. Oh, one other thing I want to mention is that he's commonly known as the saint who was most quickly canonized. Okay, but thanks to Wikipedia, I found out that that's not the case. All right. St. Peter of Verona, a Dominican, was actually canonized more quickly than St. Anthony. St. Anthony was canonized 11 months after his death. St. Peter of Verona, just a few days faster than St. Anthony. So we do have to concede that honor to the Dominicans. So what can we learn from St. Anthony? Many things, of course, but I think what's perhaps most fundamental, you know, what made St. Anthony the great saint was not the miracles, okay, all of these extraordinary phenomena and graces given to him by God, but the foundation of his sanctity, that great desire, right? He saw those Franciscans passing through, and he saw them coming back martyrs. And he said, that's what I want to do. Great love for God to the point of shedding his blood. That's what was in the heart of St. Anthony. And so we who have the grace to be called and have the vocation to be in the same spiritual family as St. Anthony, all right, we should pray to him, invoke him with confidence, and ask him to give us that same great desire to love God to the point of shedding our blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.